Hey, today's podcast is brought to you by Myers Printing, which happens to be where I work as a senior vice president, and coincidentally is the best sustainable printing company in the entire United States. Myers is a third generation family business on a mission to create a sustainable future for people, products, and our planet. We're proud to help the important work of the United Nations at COP28. For more information about Myers, the awesome products we manufacture, and our commitment to sustainability, click the link below in the show notes or reach out to me on LinkedIn or just through the Substack app. Join Myers in building a greener future, one package at a time. Now is the time to go beyond recycling. SmartSolve pioneers certified bio-based water-soluble packaging technologies that empower consumers and businesses to effortlessly reduce plastic waste. Their non-toxic materials quickly and completely disperse when combined with water and agitation, thus making them easily recyclable, biodegradable, and even zero waste. If zero waste packaging interests you, you can contact them at info@smartsolve.com, info@smartsolve.com. This is some really incredible technology. I'm excited to see where it goes. Thanks to SmartSolve for sponsoring the podcast. Jazzhand.
Hey, what's up? All right, what's up, everybody? How's it going? It is Monday, March 18th, and what do we got? We got my buddy Adam Peak.
Hello.
Packaging Pastor, packagingfashion.com, packaging podcast.
I've not used the Packaging Pastor moniker much because we're not going to talk about TikTok at all, are we?
That's
not
going to be
discussed at
all. No, they banned it. It's allowed to, we're not allowed to talk about it.
Yeah. We're not going to talk about
it's illegal.
Yeah,
please don't take that at any other point in this podcast. Me going
and because like what happens on TikTok is people like, you know, there's like song and dance.
Devils
and
in the House of the Rising Sun. Yeah. Devils in the House of the Rising Sun.
Yeah.
Pick it up, go.
That'd be ridiculous.
Whoever That's did right. that.
Whoever's saying that was amazing.
What sort of nonsense? I tried to go on American Idol singing that song.
Yeah.
And as you can probably tell, I was too good. I was too good. And they decided, you know what, sir? We can't handle your talent here.
They didn't That's want right. the other people to look bad. Yeah.
Yeah. Especially like, you should go on The Voice. And then the chairs never spun around.
You'll fit right in.
No, they did not. They did not. I think it was my my electric fiddle playing that really turned them off.
That's some good stuff. All right, man. So what else? We got Corey Connors at Corrugated on the TikToks. He's the hard line on the TikTok. He's not. Doesn't matter. If they banned it, he's moving to China. He's doing it. 100%. You can find him on Sustainable Packaging Podcast. He is sponsored by TikTok. He's a voice of a generation.
Yeah.
And then you got me, Evelio Matos, packagingunbox.com. You can check out podcast, got some cool stuff happening there. But what are we talking about today, boys?
Corrugated.
I think we should talk about exactly what you texted us that we should talk about before we got on the show.
That's how the sausage is made. Before we do that, you're watching this. Let us know where you're watching from, right? If you're on LinkedIn, let us know what state, what city, what country you're watching. We get to pretty broad reach on this thing, which is pretty awesome. And
maybe you already work.
Questions.
Maybe nobody's watching. Yeah.
Maybe nobody's watching.
Live. Maybe right. we this banned. Is broken. We were banned because what was the song that
Devils in the House of the Rising Sun?
No, not that one. The other one that was banned in
Daddy Fingers.
Daddy Fingers is banned in like some place that you grew up.
Oh yeah,
it's like Bulgaria.
Oh,
Bulgaria.
No, was it Belarus? We're banned in Belarus.
That's right, we are banned in that.
The song Daddy Fingers is
that's in Canada, I think, isn't it?
It's a province of Saskatchewan.
We are banned in Belarus. That's we had to say Belarus. that um Yeah, man. So what? All right. So we got Levi Parker coming in from Arizona. Nice. He's like my neighbor.
Hi, Levi.
Like right here.
Arizona.
It's cold here in Arizona today. It's like 60. It's freezing.
Yeah.
You have no idea.
Is it sounds almost terrible. Snowing?
Oh, it's miserable. Yeah, man. So, all right. So let's talk about like if you had to do this all over again, if you had to get into packaging today with all the experience that you have, but you weren't with the company that you're with or doing what you're doing. We got Hugh coming in. Hey, morning, Hugh. Buddy.
Morning.
We got Levi. So if you guys had to do this all over again, get into packaging, what would you do? If you had to start an entire business, no disrespect to the companies that you're with.
Sure.
But no, you know, what are the challenges out there that you'd like to solve?
I can tell you, I have learned that making novelty packaging t-shirts print on demand at a website, packagingfashion.com.
It's very lucrative.
Not a way to make a career. In case anyone's curious, if you're thinking like, oh, he's just there like Donald Duck swimming in, you know, like coins of gold.
It's the coins. Of yeah.
Yeah. Or having a packaging podcast. Neither one of these are ways to get rich, in case anyone's wondering.
Yeah.
What's up, John Gregory?
Hey, John.
I have a rule, though, John. I don't trust people with two first names. So, yeah. Levi Parker, you're close.
What about Hugh Curtis?
Hugh Curtis, oh.
No, I trust the Welsh with everything. Yeah. Yeah, they can.
Anybody in the maple syrup business is good. Is a good person.
Good people.
Yeah, good people. So I did think about this long and hard for 10 minutes, and there is something that I think is missing in our industry, and I've talked about this probably on the show. People at Myers are going to get sick of me talking about it, but it's really hard to do business in the packaging industry. Like it's hard to be a buyer. In the packaging industry. Oh no, John Gregory came in. He has three first names.
You're officially banned, sir.
How do we ban Belarus? It's full government name. It's insanely hard to buy stuff in our industry. Like, how do you know where people are?
Right.
Because most packaging companies are awful at marketing themselves, so we're hard to find on the internet. I would imagine that AI is also going to struggle for a while to discover who are the right companies, so you could probably go to ChatGPT and ask that. And you know, I would solve that problem specifically around how much does this cost. I want to buy 100,000 of those. How much does it cost right now? Like, I would like to know that. That seems like a silly question.
Yeah.
But if you were to go try to figure that out today, and I'm sure Hugh can also relate to this, because I know he's a packaging buyer. If somebody walks into your office and says, Hugh Curtis, my Welsh friend, I need 100,000 insert. And I need pricing for Walmart tomorrow. Might be like, you're not getting that pricing by tomorrow.
Right.
It's like a week. It takes so long to figure out how much a thing costs. And so I think there are ways to solve that with current technology that used to not exist. And that's probably where I would focus my thoughts and my time and my energy would be on that.
Yeah, I got a cousin in Virginia Beach. That's where I grew up too, man. Luis Matos.
Hey, Luis.
That's awesome.
No, I don't know him. But what's up, Luis? Good last name. That's all right. So that's a big challenge, right? Like, what does something cost? Why does it take so long? Why does it take so long today?
Oh boy, I suspect that I know what the answer is. That there's so many different variables and. You know, it's like, well, we got to figure out
but the customer doesn't care about the variables, right?
Correct. Well, I'm telling you why. You don't got to jump down my throat.
I'm ready. I'm pumped.
How do you come to the customer doesn't care about the variable?
They don't. They don't. No. They don't even know what a variable is, right? They're just like, how much does this box cost?
Yeah.
It's just a box. Like
just rough estimate. Yeah.
And that's the thing. I think that honestly, most people would be fine with a, you know, with a rough estimate, right? So, and I've done this before. I've been like, you know, I'd probably say it's gonna be around 30 to 40 cents. And that's, there's a big delta there.
Mm-hmm.
And I only know that because I have bought packaging, specifically folding cartons. I have, you know, I've sold them, obviously. I've estimated a lot of them. So that only comes through a person having experience. But being able to say that is actually super helpful, because if somebody needs an answer right away, and we're used to the Amazon world of,
that's give me an answer
right now. Right. I need to know it. We should be able to just say that, like, there should be a way or a software solution that says like, okay, I have a thing. Maybe you could take a picture and, you know, using that picture or put in some dimensions or something. That that's 100% what I would do. Cause I think it's a, I seriously think it's a big problem right now in our industry. And there's also no price there's no price visibility. Mm-hmm. So how do you know if it's good or bad? There's no like market other than saying, okay, I have a price now from this vendor, and now I got to get one from this vendor and from this vendor and from this vendor. And honestly, they're all using different assumptive price models oftentimes. Mm-hmm. So unless it's like a stock box or a stock item, it's hard.
This is where Lumi was amazing. Right. Mm-hmm. So, Lumi sold like 2 years ago. 2.5 years ago, but Lumi was amazing. Those guys, you would log in, you had to have the membership, you type in the type of packaging that you wanted, dimensions, and then it went and sourced everyone. They came back with pricing, and then you can compare. And then they also came back with timeline for each factory, all certifications. It was definitely the future of the way that this business should operate. Yeah, but what's that?
And then it got shut down. It's no longer, it doesn't exist anymore.
Well, it's now part of another business, but the challenge was that in order to be in that Lumi ecosystem, you had to pay, you know, quite a chunk for a subscription fee. If I remember correctly, it was tens of thousands to be a part of that. And you had to use, you know, hundreds of thousands of units in order to do it. But it was like that was a really, forward thinking model. I think kind of address some of this stuff.
Yeah. It should be doable with data. So you should be able to leverage a tool like SpecRite, who we've talked about a lot.
Yeah,
you should be able to leverage a tool like SpecRite if you have your materials, if you have colors, if you have quantity, and if you have, some sort of other specs that are going to be
location. Yeah,
there's going to be things, and then maybe you have sustainability metrics and stuff like that. But it's not as though it's not as though this hasn't been solved by like Amazon. I mean, I can get stuff delivered to my house in 2 hours. And if you would have said like, we're going to solve that problem 10 years ago,
people
would have laughed at you. Cause it's like, no, you have to go drive to the store. It's not just going to show up at your house. And now that's the norm. I mean, I got to admit, when I'm looking on Amazon, I'm like, no same day delivery, even though I don't even need it for like
right. a week.
You're like, disappointed.
I don't want. Never mind. I'll move on to the next thing.
Tomorrow.
It's crazy. It's crazy how our brains have been rewired. But in B2B sales, we have to remember that B2B buyers are also B2B or B2C consumers, right? We buy stuff, and right, wrong, or indifferent, I think we have to be willing to innovate and adjust to.
And setting those expectations with your client is really important, and saying this process is going to take this long approximately this long. And we should have this information by this date. And I think that's a big mistake, but it's a big challenge too. I've been in this industry 26 years and I still am learning new things every single day about why certain things take longer, why certain things are faster, why certain pricing models are easier to get, and why our designers take longer with certain design styles They want to do full designs, even if the customer supplies artwork and files, they want to go through them and make sure they're going to work on our machines. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of due diligence that happens that as a salesperson, it can be very frustrating because you want to satisfy your customers' questions and needs right away. So it can be frustrating.
Do you think though, because I understand all of the things, right? I totally get all I'm not saying that steps are unnecessary, but to me, there is a level of, so think about this. So if you have a designer who is paid, is a person right now, right? And they have to take the layout. I'll keep using this insert, right? They want to take that. They want to create a CAD of it. They want to take the CAD. They want to lay it out because they want to maximize everything. I don't know how long that takes, right? And if they're doing all of that work and you have a close rate on new quotes of 15%, maybe, that means 85% of their work is essentially wasted. And I don't mean wasted, but it's non-revenue generating, right? You're just creating designs for stuff you're never going to run. Mm-hmm. And it seems like those are the things that artificial intelligence and machine learning are going to come in and be able to disrupt, I would guess. I mean, I'm not an AI, developer or anything, but I would imagine that that's a great use case to be able to say, okay, I put in my specs and it just creates the layout that's optimized to my equipment really quickly. And then that gets pulled into our estimating module. And so, that point is now null and void. Now there should be designers who are looking at that, ways to optimize. If you're going to, you're going to gang run, especially on folding.
Yeah, but that's where things start taking time, right? I think.
Correct.
Like today. Yeah. Today you can go on, you can punch in your digits and get what, punch in the information for this material, for this construction, get a die line, be able to quote right off of that. But there's a lot of companies out there that don't want to quote off of a die line that's created in Illustrator, for example, right? They'll want to recreate it in CAD, ESCO. They're paying, $70,000 per seat for software. So they got to use that. And then that, to recreate something takes time. I know when I was working at this other company that we won't mention, it's one of these big billion-dollar companies for packaging. It was kind of the same thing, right? It's like something would come in, you could sketch it out and be like, all right, here's exactly what I need. And then it would take like a week for somebody to build it in CAD, go cut a prototype, make sure that the hinge and everything functioned properly, that the locks worked. It's like, dude, we just need to price it. We're not trying to recreate it. And it's like, no, but we have to make sure that it works and that this does this. And like, dude, the customer doesn't care. Like, if this template is going to yield a $3 box and they've got a $2 budget, doesn't matter if it works or not. Like, we'll have to redesign it anyway. So let's figure it out. Let's kind of skip over some of these steps.
So quote first, then confirm.
Correct.
Yeah.
It's an
estimate. And I think, an estimate.
That's it. All you're doing is just estimating. And it's not hard to equip a salesperson, I don't think. I mean, a salespeople were slow and dangerous behind the wheel, but we still can't serve a purpose to where you can say, hey, this is an estimate. If you want, if this pricing looks within where you're trying to get to, there might be some ways to fine tune this. There likely are ways to fine tune this, maybe squeeze a few more up on a sheet or put more across on a roll, or, we can look at you can look at options, but just to get a baseline cost should not take longer, in my opinion, longer than an hour, honestly. Yeah. I mean, with the information that we have today, with the tools that we have available today, this should be a process, in my opinion, that a customer or prospect could just have a site that they just go in and they go, how much does my packagingcost.com? Is that available? Yeah. Dang it, Avelio already bought it.
Oh, yeah. Not
all over it. No, but that's the challenge, right? I think the company we spoke to last week, the Pistachio, did you meet with those guys, Corey?
I have a meeting with them on Wednesday. Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. So startup like that, right? Like they're just building a company out of their dorm room, making pistachio butters. They bought packaging. They went on Alibaba, looked for somebody that could make boxes, and they got boxes that don't work. So I'm sure it was really quick. I'm sure you can go on Alibaba and it's like, it shows you a box and it shows you a price. But you need something a little bit more than that. And that's where I think people are like, well, we want to make a prototype and sure that it works. But if you were able to price it, they can say, okay, yeah, this is what we want to do. Then you can make a prototype. Then you can test it. Then you can kind of go down that path. Say, okay, now we got to make some adjustments. It'll increase the cost here and there. Kind of going down that process. But I think for those companies, the other challenge too is our MOQs.
Yeah.
Right? And startups don't understand why there's MOQs. Goes back to the same thing. They just want their packaging. So, right. You know, I guess my question is, what are the variables that delay pricing and what are the reasons behind these MOQs? Let's take a look here. We got Matt coming in, often saying, Matt Hansley saying, often estimating takes longer than the actual design process. It'd be great if you could just input blank size, volume, material, and level of difficulty to ballpark. Yeah, 100%.
But then even like the Kelly Blue Book, where it's like,
yeah, min to max. Yeah.
Min, max, like, I even think that would be just enough to like to put in, like you do with a car, right? There's a ton of variables that come into automobile pricing. Like how much is my car? How much should I expect to get for my car is still a complex question that requires somebody to do a whole lot of work. But Kelly Blue Book's been doing this for a long time, right? Based on all sorts of variables. So anyway, I interrupt you, Corey. And I did that on purpose because I don't like you.
Well, thanks. Thanks for nothing. Yeah. I think it's important that we're assuming that the buyer knows the look and the feel that they're trying to accomplish as well. They know that this is Flexo. They know it's litho or digital and how that's going to look. We need to assume that they understand all those variances. And a lot of the time I'm spending with customers is talking through some of those options and explaining them to them why these are more expensive for setup, but these are less expensive for tooling and things like that, I think are really a big part of this job that has taken years and years to learn.
Yeah. And I think a lot of times as a salesperson, you not only want to take down the information for that particular order, but you also have ideas of, well, you know, brand X over here did something similar, but they did this, this, and this, and that helped, that helped reduce costs or that helped whatever. And I think at that first conversation, a lot of times it's, let's just take the information. I know I had a call last week with a client. It's like, all right, they want this. They want pricing for this exact thing.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. We'll get pricing on this. Next step after this is let's take a look at it. Here are options that we can do to reduce it, make it more sustainable, like giving them this whole slew of options that they can do to change that packaging. But first, pricing, right? And then we can see like how things can change it and why it makes sense to do different, you know, make different decisions. Because they're also trying to ballpark it against, you know, someone else that's already quoted that particular thing. Mm-hmm. If you quote something different, then they don't have an apples to apples comparison. And that, you know, I think that also screws things up.
Definitely. I do think oftentimes though, if it's a new project, then and there's no baseline, then that's where I think you see a lot of the variability. If it's a, hey, can you quote me on this thing that we've already been purchasing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Most companies, and I've run into this only two times actually in 15 years. So two times have I looked at something that somebody's already buying, given them pricing and have them go, you are way less expensive than what we're currently buying. And that was because of just bad business. Whoa, we switched. That was because of bad business activities that were happening at the top level and kickbacks and all sorts. That's only happened twice. Mm-hmm. And I've done literally tens, hundreds of thousands of quotes, right? So usually what I've found is what you're currently buying is probably in line with what it should be. Because why does it keep flashing packaging today? It's driving me crazy. I already have a mild case of atom deficit disorder. So, you know, I will say this repeatedly and often, which is unless you're going to change how you buy something, you're going to change the material, you're going to change the frequency, you're going to change the amount, whatever price you're paying is probably pretty good. I mean, there's not a whole lot of, especially in my world, there's not so much innovation that means that you're going to save much more than 5 to 7%. And candidly, you could probably go to your current supplier and tell them, hey, I got a goal. I got to save 5% on my packaging. Mm-hmm. And they'll work with you. They should. They should be able to work with you to figure out a way to do that, right?
It's not always true. If you're importing, right? When someone's importing packaging, that's where you get a big difference. I know, for example, like if you're importing something from China, instantly you're hit with a 25% tariff, right? So if you have to import because it's a custom product that you can't make in the States or in North America, then just moving from one country to another country can save you, you know, 20%+, right? Yep. So even if you're paying 5% more in a different country, but you're not having to pay the tariffs, like right off the top, you're able to save.
I only work for American companies, Velio.
Yeah, domestically, it doesn't impact that way. But a lot of times people are like, well, I'm getting it from China, so it's got to be the cheapest solution. It's like, no, not necessarily. Like, more than likely, it's not. But we're kind of trained to think that.
Oh, thank you for moving that away from my
face. Do you like this? Let me know. Do you guys prefer this or do you prefer this?
Camera one, camera two.
Camera one, camera one, two.
Camera two. Remember that?
Let us know. Do you like the side by side or do you like the stack?
I feel like I have to back away though on the. Oh, look, I'm wearing my PP shirt.
All right. What do we got with Hugh? A huge difference between huge. Asking for a quote and difference.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Asking for a quote and huge existing difference. Item. Yeah. The buyer making the request should be aware.
Great point.
Yeah, 100%.
Great point. And you have to have that different approach.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mix it up.
Now, and I think there's different. All right. So what are the variables? So we're kind of wrapping up here. Like, what are the variables in a quote? Materials, right? So there can be like a stock material. It could be a material that you have on hand already versus something you've got to purchase. It could be a branded material. So even if we're talking about paper, right? It can just be a white paper, or it could be like a Nina paper. It could be a James Cropper paper. It can be a French paper. There's all these different brands. And as you keep, it's still a white paper, but the branded name and how they're manufacturing it increases cost. Mm-hmm. Then is that paper available locally? Do you have to bring it in from out of state, out of the country? Those things change pricing. What else?
I think we could talk, because there's like, even just in pressure sensitive labels, just sticker printing, there's like 27 steps to produce a label. So, but going all the way back,
we're talking about packaging. I don't know that labels are labels packaging.
Yes. Stop it. Secondary packaging. stickers are awesome. But I think going all the way back to the original point of the reason why I brought this up is because if I'm a buyer of something, one, I don't want to be the expert and necessarily,
right.
And two, I just want to know. I think that buyers are getting so frustrated, and I understand it because they just want to know a price, and it should not be. I just don't think it should be as difficult, even though all the variables still exist. But all the variables still exist for various other industries, and they have all been solved with computer machines. Machines seem to solve these things. I mean, it used to take, I'll give you an example. When I would do try to get like write show notes, that would be a multi-hour process, and I just stopped doing it for my podcast. And now I have a service that I pay a little amount of money to do, and it will process everything for me in about 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Because there are now computers and different software solutions that can do things that used to take a long time. That's
right.
Part of something that's beautiful. And I feel like this is something that should be able to be handled in a very quick amount of time, regardless of what all the variables are. Actually, the variability and the complexity to me makes it even more disruptive in our industry, because
I think the pushback is that what if consumer A puts in all their information that they think is right, and they get a price back, and then they go to place that order and you say, well, actually, because of this variable, that price is 20% more, or, you know, will we be creating frustrated buyers by this, you know, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, here's your rough estimate concept. So there's a good and a bad side of this,
I think. Yeah, could be garbage out.
Yeah, for sure. But I think the other challenge too is if you're a salesperson, you're quoting, you know, you're quoting this box here, then you're concerned that whoever they've benchmarked this with is lower. And how could they have done this lower? And because you're trying to gain the business, and it's like, all right, well, if we change this material, if we change this, then it can be less. And then you give them a lower price, and you actually see what they've actually quoted. And you're like, oh, okay, now it's going to be higher. So it is a challenge. We start wrapping up. I did want to kind of just show you this thing, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
I got this. I interviewed the team over at Taxi Studio. They sent over this killer, their book, which is cool. I think a lot of agencies are doing books. So check those guys out. But then I also got this from our buddy Uwe, who they've put together this book. It's an industrial design book for design agencies, and kind of goes through like different regulations, different style, like different things for packaging. I mean, there's a lot of really cool stuff that you can get. And as we, you know, the three of us do these podcasts, we get to meet a lot of different people from all over the place. And I don't know, for me, it's just been an education. I know you guys kind of feel the same way, or it's like you learn a lot from your different clients. I know we're talking to like the team over at SmartSolve. I mean, there's paper that dissolves that you can easily get rid of, like in the shower, like, you know, plus like all those different shampoos where you take the sachet and just throw it on the bottom of your shower and it just dissolves.
So cool.
There's a lot of really cool products out there and a lot of really cool engineering that people are doing. So I don't know. I always get excited about meeting new people and connecting that way.
Love it.
What do you got, Adam? Who's the coolest? What's the latest podcast you got coming on?
I don't know. I gotta look at the interview. I've been making the videos, and Corey gave me some crap before I got on of cost shaving ideas with skull shaver. I had their influencer manager and packaging designer, Justin Vermeesh, on last week, and that was incredibly interesting and insightful. How he got into it was a totally different way to get into packaging design. But I've gotten some really interesting feedback. Like, people are like, it's actually sort of like cathartic to hear this, just like a 30 second little. I'm like, I don't know. I don't every time I shave, I don't come up with an idea, but I've had a few. At least I put a shirt on. I was gonna do it shirtless.
And
I
thought,
shirtless with like hair, like just kind of just falling off all over your body.
What's cool about the thing though, like legitimately, you don't get hair on you. It just captures it inside of the little device. And I haven't had to charge the thing yet. Like, it just keeps the battery.
Do you go like around? Can you do your face?
I could, yeah. I trimmed up this weekend. I was out pruning the trees, and I was like, man, this mustache is getting kind of squirrely. So I trimmed up the facial hair. But yeah, it could do the whole
with face. The garden shears. I can just see how tough it's Adam
just, is. I was just like,
uses the garden shears. Mustache. How tough he is.
No, good. No. So did you? All right. So when you had those guys on, I know when you did the unboxing here.
Yeah, I shared with them my feedback.
You had a lot of complaints. There's a lot of things that weren't good. Like, are you upfront with them? Like, hey,
yeah. This part and then sucked. They were like, no, these are some things that we need to change. And you know, they're a very innovative company. So their founder is just constantly pushing the envelope on new. I mean, the fact that, like, literally the fact that this thing does such a good job, and also the battery life on this is like the old Nokia brick phone. I'm telling you, I turn it on and it still says like 35%. I'm like, I've been using this every other day for like multiple, since I got it, since we did it here on the show, like a month.
That's cool.
I feel like this thing has to be charged once a month. So
Nice.
It's been pretty cool. I've been having fun with that and putting out this on the podcast. I've gotten a lot of good feedback that people enjoy listening to this when they can't tune in and watch it live. That they're enjoying listening to the audio. So shout out to the hundreds of people who have been listening to this on audio. It's been pretty cool.
Nice, nice. And what do you got going on, Corey?
Interviews. No more interviews, just packaging.
I had Roger Merritt on from Aurora Packaging Solutions. He is the person that I call when I have a question about automation and equipment in the packaging industry. He's, I don't know how many years of experience are incredibly valuable. And I absolutely enjoyed the conversation. He's hilarious and brilliant guy. So a lot of fun.
Cool. Can I awesome, make a request? Man. Can we have somebody on either in the next few weeks? I know, Corey, you met somebody on California Senate Bill 54.
Yeah.
I've gotten a lot of questions about that just internally and with customers around like, wait, what does this all mean? Like people are trying to figure out the material list. It's got to be finalized by July. I think it'd be cool to have an expert on it, or we can just keep making stuff up, which is.
No, I think that's good. Fun. Yeah. Well, I can reach out to CalRecycle and see if somebody from their team, if like Dean or somebody from over there can hop on here.
I just know Dean. Pretty cool. Does Dean have two first names? Cause I can't trust Dean.
yes. It's Dean. Dean. It's,
Dean Michael.
but yeah, we can reach out and see if they can come on and kind of break down what it means. Cause yeah, it's a huge shift.
Yep.
Such a big deal.
That'd be great.
Awesome. All right, man. Real quick before we go, Levi asked, what would be advice for a graphic designer new to the packaging industry? I would say subscribe to Packaging Unboxed. Seriously. We did a couple new episodes, on designing with AI. We broke down Beyonce's Sacred Packaging, which did get a little bit of heat because we didn't necessarily love it. And we kind of went down some of the issues, and some people don't like it when you don't like Beyonce. Mm-hmm. Right?
What was Beyonce? Beyonce called?
You know, Jay-Z's like, hey, man, dude, back up. He's like, you're crazy for this one, Avelio. And I'm like, I know.
You know? And you're like, I've got 99 problems, but Beyonce.
He made the takeover part two. First one is about Nas. The second one was about Avelio Matos.
Yeah.
You did grow up together, right? In Okinawa, Japan?
We did. No, actually, you know what? I got to work with Jay-Z's team on a couple occasions a few years ago. Good stuff. I was thinking of going down, doing like a celebrity packaging episode, kind of going to like some opportunities I've had and opportunities I've turned down.
Name drops.
Yeah. Well, you know, like Adam got, you know, I think we've all had an opportunity to work with celebrities. I think people think, I was like, oh my God, you're working with so-and-so. I was like, yeah, they just don't know anything about packaging. So yeah,
pretty much like everybody else.
Yeah. Like anybody. It doesn't matter where you've been, what movies, what albums. Yeah. You don't know anything about packaging. Just like anybody else.
Yeah.
So.
Oh shoot, I'm late for my next meeting.
Oh no.
I'm 7 minutes late. I gotta go. I forgot I had a hard stop.
The devil's in the house of the rising sun.
Pick it up. Don't. See you guys.
See you later.
Bye.
Live from Studio 3, this is Packaging Today with Avelio Matos, Alan Peel, and Corey Cox.
Modern consumers want modern buying experiences, and they don't just want them, they expect them. Beyond killer on-site buying experiences, consumers expect seamless experiences from checkout to delivery. And when things go wrong, and they do a lot, we know this in the packaging industry, they expect the brand to make it right and make it right quickly. In fact, 89% of consumers say they stop buying from a brand after just one bad buying experience. That's where Label comes in. Label Protect is a brand-first, buyer-focused protection solution that's uniquely designed to make shipping issues a thing of the past. Instead of leaving your buying experience to chance, you can give your customers peace of mind at checkout, knowing their orders are 100% covered from loss, theft, damage, and more. And with a 98% claim approval rate, 24-hour resolution time, and best-in-class revenue share, Label reduces customer support overhead, protects your bottom line, increases profits, and most importantly, Label keeps your customers coming back for more. Whether you ship 100 orders a month or 100,000, it's time to make the final mile part of your competitive advantage with Label. You can learn more by clicking the link in the show notes or going to labelpx.com. That's labelpx.com. Hey, congrats. You made it to the end of the podcast. If you're looking for more great podcast material in the packaging industry, please check out Sustainable Packaging with Corey Connors and the newly redesigned Package Unboxed with Avelio Matos. Go find them wherever you listened to this podcast. Thanks, everybody.